For those of you who don't know me, my name is David. I'm a member of this church. I'm not a pastor. But I want to thank Pastor Kevin for giving me this chance to be able to preach and share the Word of God. And like I say, it's not as if I have some wisdom to impart to you guys, but rather it's something that I'm learning for myself as well through reading the Word of God. And I hope that I can share some of what I'm learning along with you guys as well. So let's first of all bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we can come together to worship you and to learn from your word, Lord. I pray that your word be preached today and that your presence be with us and that your spirit will work in our hearts today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to fan into flame this gift that you have put in each one of us. And that in this new year in 2019, Lord, that you would help us to burn brighter and brighter for you each day. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Happy New Year, everybody. It's a time for new goals, for new Year's resolutions. For myself, I've made a resolution of procrastinating less. My wife told me to write it down, but I'm still getting around to it. Our New Year's resolutions, they come about because they come about because we've seen things in our lives that we're not quite happy with. You know, whether it's our studies or our work, whether it's because we see ourselves, we're not quite fit as we want to be, so we sign up to gyms. How about we take that lens and we take a look at our spiritual lives as well? Are our spiritual lives where we want it to be? Let's take a look back to when you were first saved, when you first had salvation, when you first heard the word of God and you're convicted of your sins. How has your spiritual life progressed since then? What difference has it been since that first moment to now? Think back to a time when you felt strong and passionate, had a fire burning inside you for the gospel. How long ago has that been? And is that flame still burning within you? Or has that flame gone down to embers? Has the fire burning inside you been tempered by the world, by work, by stress, by opposition? Now, a few years ago, I was part of a backpacker service that we used to run here at Southside International Church. It was run by Hank, one of the members from the Mandarin congregations. And what we would do is gather backpackers from all around Brisbane, and we'd because it's very lonely being in a different country by yourself. They didn't have networks, so we try and gather them together, have a meal together, and talk to them and build relationships, and we'd have worship together and study the Bible together. But the nature of a service like that is that backpackers, they come and they go. They often keep moving on to new jobs, and so we had to keep building new relationships with these people. And every week, it just felt like we were doing the same thing again and again and again. And it was just got so tiring, and I just got so burnt out. At the beginning, I was so fired up. I was doing everything. I was leading the worship. I was leading the Bible studies. But eventually, I just burnt out, and I just couldn't carry it on anymore. I was just so overwhelmed. Now, in the passage today, it will be looking at 2 Timothy. We find Paul writing to his young charge called Timothy. Now, Timothy was sent to Ephesus, a church there, because there were news of dissension and conflict. And so Paul sent Timothy to be able to try and guide this church back onto the right path. At the time of Paul's writing, we find Timothy in a bit of a difficult position because even though he was there, people still weren't listening to him. There were false teachers preaching wrong things, and these people were gaining more and more followers. It seemed like Timothy was just becoming overwhelmed. He was too timid, too shy, and the voices of the opposition just overwhelmed him, and his fire was burning out, essentially. So I want to read together, if you want to follow along with the slides or in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, Paul tells Timothy, don't be shy. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed that I am a prisoner. Rather, I want you to speak louder. Put the gifts that God has given to you to use. Are you having trouble putting them to use? Fear not, because God has given you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline to be able to put your spiritual gifts to use. And to each of us as well, we each have been given a spiritual gift from God, and God has given us all that we need to be able to put it to use. We each have spiritual gifts to be able to serve God in our own way. You know, for Timothy, it was to lead the church, and I don't know what it might be for you. Now, you might ask yourself, well, I have nothing special to contribute. What is my spiritual gift? How do I find out what my spiritual gift is? I want to take a look at the example of Timothy. You know, first of all, Paul tells us that Timothy received the gift of God through the laying on of Paul's hand, which he says there in verse 6. In the same way, you can ask the elders of our church to pray over you and help you to find your spiritual gift, and to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you through it as well. And second of all, Timothy, he just went for it. He stepped out into faith and just put his gift to use. You know, Paul sent Timothy to the church in Ephesus. Even though Timothy probably didn't feel ready for it, he didn't feel fully prepared for it, but he stepped out in faith, and God was with him, and he just went for it. You know, in 2 Corinthians, it says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. God will complete the work in you. So you need to step out into faith and just put it to use. Your spiritual gift may not be evangelism, but I believe that each one of us has the responsibility of evangelizing. You know, we've been given this amazing gospel, the good news of salvation. We can't just keep it to ourselves. So evangelism, I believe, is a responsibility that each one of us has. But on top of that, God has given you a spiritual gift to serve God in your own way as well. And I want you to seek it out, to look out for it, to ask for prayer, for God to guide you to it. So ask for the elders to pray for you. Ask for courage to step out in faith. You see, the problem is if you don't fan the flame, it goes out. If you don't feed the fire, it goes out. It's like a skill that we have that if you don't use it, you start to forget how to use it. So how do we exercise our gifts? The answer that Paul gives us is this: with the spirit that God gave us, which does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So the spirit that God gave us does not make us timid. In other words, it makes us courageous. When I was in high school, my friend, she started a Bible study group in our school. It wasn't a Christian school, but she just stepped out into faith and started running this group. She would get a pastor every week to come and share with us, and then we'd break into groups and study the word. And as the group grew bigger and bigger and bigger, they needed more and more leaders. So one day they asked me to lead as well. And I was just terrified. You know, I can barely even speak to another person, let alone lead a whole group of people. I don't know what I would say. I don't know what questions I would ask. I don't know how I would, you know, facilitate this Bible study. But I remember one day we were actually just studying this passage, and it just resonated with me, and it just clicked in my mind. And I just kept repeating this passage to myself. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. It doesn't make me timid. It gives me courage. And so I just need to go out and do it. You know, this passage has carried me through many, many stages of my life. I have to keep reminding myself every single time, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. Like I mentioned before, it took courage for Timothy to step out, to go to Ephesus, to lead this church. That would have taken an immense amount of courage. But then you can imagine once he gets there, the discouragement and just despair that he would have felt when he was faced with such opposition. Not only did he have to speak before people, he had to speak in front of people who were opposing him, who were disparaging him. Timothy, he had to be reminded once again, don't be afraid. The spirit that God gave us does not make us timid. Or another translation, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. So relying on the Spirit of God is a brave decision we have to make again and again and again. So don't be timid about the gospel of God. In this new year, I want you to make it a resolution to be courageous about your beliefs. Don't shy away from conversations about Jesus, about Christ, or about the gospel. But rather, I want you to rely on the Spirit that God has given you to speak to those around you about Christianity. And not just about evangelism, but for your spiritual gift as well. I know you might not know what your spiritual gift is, or maybe you have an inkling, but you're just too afraid to try it. So in this new year, make it a resolution to step out in faith, to not be timid, and just put it to use and see where God leads you. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. Here, Paul gives us a very good reason why we shouldn't be timid or afraid. God has given us all that we need in order to overcome. We have this power of the Spirit from God. It says in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. We speak with the authority of God. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the gospel. He has saved us. We should not be ashamed, but we should speak with authority. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love. Power gives us authority, but power alone doesn't preach the gospel. You know, Bible bashing never gets us anywhere. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. You know, one of the reasons evangelism is so hard is often because people see themselves as projects rather than friends. You know, they see themselves as just a number that we want to add to our list of people I've saved today. And we need to take our time and listen to them. We need to, these are complex, people are complicated. They have questions, they have doubts, they have preconceptions. There's all this thing in the back of their mind before we can even get to the point of talking about the gospel. You know, in medicine, they teach us to view patients holistically. They tell us to treat the patient, not the disease. Now, I know it sounds obvious, but after studying diseases for so many years, you kind of forget that there's actually a person sitting in front of you there. You know, you see this person in front of you, he has a broken arm. Ah, but why? Why does he have a broken arm? Maybe he was drunk. Why was he drunk? Perhaps he lost his job. Why did he lose his job? Ah, he has another disease in the background that causes him to lose his job. In the same way, I want you to view the people around you as complicated people. They have questions. They have doubts. There's things in the background that are causing them to doubt. Think of the go names list that Pastor Kevin mentioned about last week, the people that you have on your mind that you want to share the gospel with. Have you talked to them about the gospel before? Are they having trouble accepting or even talking about Jesus? Think, is there another reason in the back of their minds that's stopping them from even wanting to explore this idea? You need to really get to know the person. You need to invest your time and effort into them. You need to love them. And thirdly, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, this I always found really weird. You know, power and love, I can imagine fanning the flame with power. You know, it's a strong word, love, it's a passionate word. But then, self-discipline, where does that come in? What I've come to realize is that a flame, you know, feeding the flame, it requires steady and continuous dedication to it as well. You can't just pour a bottle of fuel on the fire and expect it to burn for the whole night. What you need to do is continuously feed it with kindling, with firewood throughout the night, continuously with dedication. In the same way, our gift from God will need to be constantly fed. So first of all, we need to learn more about the Word. We need to dwell on the Word. Get to know your spiritual gift. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God, is good for every good work. It doesn't matter whether your spiritual gift is evangelism. It doesn't matter if your spiritual gift is in music. Regardless, the Word of God is good for equipping for every good work. It will teach us more about our gifts. It will teach us more about the heart of God. And it's the first step in us putting our gifts to use. The app that Pastor Kevin mentioned previously, Mission 119, it's a very easy and straightforward, simple way to keep up a daily habit of getting to know God's Word. It's a very practical way as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Be prepared to make a defense of the gospel in every season." And I believe this is a responsibility for every Christian. You know, if we can't explain what we believe to other people, how can we expect them to believe and listen to us? And second part of self-discipline, we need to practice. We need to start exercising our gift. I mentioned before, you need to step out of timidity, whether it be, you know, serving on the worship team, whether it be speaking about the gospel to your friend, whether it be signing up for a mission trip, or even preaching. You need to step out into faith and into courage. And it's not just once, but continuously, with self-discipline, again and again and again, making that decision again and again. You know, New Year's resolutions, they so often fail because we give up too quickly. You know, you sign up for a gym and you sign up for a whole year's worth, $700 down the drain, and then after 2 weeks, you give up. You know, it takes at least 2 months for you to see any results for going to the gym, and let alone putting your spiritual gift to use. That takes time as well to see results. You need to choose to be strong and courageous again and again and again. At the end of all this, by whose power do we do all of this? And Paul tells us in verse 8, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." So it's by the power of God that we can do any of this. It's his spirit that he's given us. It's his gift that he has given us that we need to fan into flame. It's his salvation that he's provided for us. It's from all of these things are from him. So we need to rely on God. Furthermore, in chapter 2, it says, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance. We need to pray for God to work in people's hearts. The presence of God is essential in our ministry. Therefore, it's vital that you get to know the Word of God and that you pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for God to work in yourself, to fan into flame the spiritual gift that you have, for God to use the spirit within you, the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, and for God to work in the hearts of those you are trying to evangelize to. Pray hard for God to work in their lives so that they may come to repentance. Paul also reminds us that things will not be easy. We will face opposition. You know, time will come when people will not want to hear what you want to say. People will do things to suit themselves and indulge themselves. Paul reminds Timothy of the suffering that he's going through because of these oppositions. And I think we need to keep this in mind as well. But Paul also gives Timothy a very straightforward instruction. Let's read from chapter 4, verses 2 to 5. You can follow along in your Bibles. "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Paul gives Timothy a straightforward instruction. Just do your part. You know, people will do what they want to do. They'll listen to what they want to hear. They'll gather people around them that say things that they love to hear. But your job is straightforward. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. Our job is simply to fan into flame the gift from God with the spirit that God has given us, with power, with love, and with self-discipline. Fluctuations in our passions will occur. You know, with stress, with opposition, with daily life. It will try to smother us, try to smother the flame that we have, and that's natural. But it's all the more reason why we need to be reminded to stoke the fire. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God has given you a gift. Fan it into flame. Put it to use with power, with love, and with self-discipline. And pray, pray, pray for God to use you. So have you thought about it? How is your flame? Is your flame still burning bright? Or has it been reduced to embers? Now, I'll admit, my flame has been struggling for quite some time with just the stress of work. And, you know, I used to try to do so much for the church, and now I just think, what's the point? In this new year, I want to recommit myself, and I want to invite each one of you to recommit yourself as well, to fan this flame, to keep it burning bright, and to remind ourselves once again that this fire needs stoking, that this fire needs to be fanned and to fan into flame. So at this point in time, I want you to bow your heads and give you this chance to commit yourselves again. Now, just as a token of your courage, token of your promise, I want you to put your hand up just for a moment. I know it seems silly, I know it seems cheesy and embarrassing, but just for a moment, I want you to put your hand up. It's a physical representation of your courage, of your promise with God. In this moment, I just want... Thank you. This is an admission that to God that my flame has gone out. I see where my spiritual life is. And I don't like what I see. In this new year, Lord, I want you to use me more and more and more. Help me to fan my flame, to burn brighter and brighter in this new year. Lord, help me with the spirit of power, with the spirit of love, and with the spirit of self-discipline. Lord, help me to fan this gift into flame.
Just as we think in turn, as we think through this challenge that God's word brings to us this morning, to fan into flame the gift that God has given us, let me lead you in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, into our lives. And as we stand at the beginning of a new year, we choose to give you ourselves afresh. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We acknowledge our need of a fresh work in our own lives. Forgive us, Lord, for getting caught up in stuff and being distracted. Open our eyes afresh that we might see Jesus, that we might see your heart for the nations, that, yes, Lord, we might see how you want to use us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.